This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly UFC show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Vella and joining me to preview UFC 280 headlined by the lightweight title fight between Charles Oliveira and Islam Makhachev is the former MMA fighter and pro bettor Ryan Bruno. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Looking forward to these fights at the weekend. It's a stacked card. Should be a good one.
Yeah, no, mate, it's a cracking card, arguably the best card of the year. Quick recap on last week, we went 3 out of 5. Grasso won by decision, so that the over 3.5 on that cashed. Rodriguez round one and Martinez Swanson by KO, or either to finish by KO, was that was pure violence, that fight. That came home nicely at plus 155. And then... very close on Hughes, mate. I think we were, yeah, definitely on the right side there. Round one was a bit of a coin flip, and I guess also Serkinov too. I mean, it went the way we thought it potentially could.
Yeah, it went pretty bad for him pretty quickly. But like we said, that was always the biggest danger for him, and that's what happened. So.
Yeah, so a decent weekend overall, mate. I think we highlighted some pretty good value spots there, mate. But we won't spend any more time on that because we've got a lot to get through this week. We will go through one prelim fight and then four fights on the main card. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to some of the fights like the Sean Brady fight and the Mateus Gamrot fight either. I mean, it seems very rude not to go through those considering the quality of those fights. But yeah, we just don't have the time. But we'll get straight into it. Your first bet of the day, Makhmed Muradov, hopefully I've pronounced that correctly, versus Cal Brajal, if probably haven't done that correctly either.
Yeah, so this is an interesting fight, and I'm going with a common narrative, which we talk about, and that's kind of a market overreaction, and I think that's happening in this fight. So you got Muradov is coming in off his first loss in the UFC. Before that, he'd won 3 straight fights, and he went into that fight against Gerald Meerschaert as quite a big favourite. I think it was about minus 400 towards minus 500, I think, in some places. So, you know, you can tell that he's got a lot of hype and people have been impressed, but he just seemed to wilt in that performance. I mean, Meerschaert is a very skilled guy. He's not the most explosive guy, but he'll stay in your face and he'll pressure you. And he's got good submission skills. And that's what happened. It was kind of an odd performance for Muradov because we'd seen before that he's got quite good cardio. Like in the Sanchez fight, he showed really good cardio for 3 rounds. And normally he's been able to maintain the pace. But in that fight, I don't know, perhaps he went in with an injury or illness. I mean, he did get kicked in the groin quite early on, and he took an eye poke as well. So perhaps that kind of put him off his game. But ultimately, he did wilt, and he was submitted. But I do like him as a fighter. I think he's a very good athlete. He moves back and forth, side to side. He's got really nice movement on the outside. He darts in really well. He's got almost like karate-like, but he's got really good boxing skills. He can dart in. He's got a really nice jab. He's got a really nice straight shot. And he reacts really well to takedowns as well in the Sanchez fight. And this is what I think will be really important in this fight is when Sanchez was going for takedowns, he gets his hips, you know, back and ready to stuff takedowns really, really quickly. And I think that's key in this fight because that's where his opponent, Cal Brajal, is likely to take the fight. So Barallo's like kind of the new hot thing in the UFC. He's 2-0 now in the UFC, and he's shown excellent grappling in both fights. Like, his grappling in the Omar Gadziev fight was really good because Omar Gadziev took him down, and, you know, he's a Russian dude. And like most Russian dudes, they've got solid wrestling, but he swept him like nothing in that fight. I don't know if you've seen it, but yeah, it's the unreal sweep he did. It was like a child almost. He just like threw him over and got on top of him. So it shows that he's a very high-level grappler. And then in his last fight against Armin Petrosian, he was able to get takedowns at will. Although he didn't really set up his takedowns too well, he was kind of shooting from the outside. He was still landing them. And I think Petrosian doesn't have the best takedown defense, but he is quite good at getting back up, like getting his back to the cage and working back up again. But Barallo was able to get his back several times and really control him. But I don't think he'll be able to do that against Muradov. I think like from what I've seen with Muradov is that his takedown defense is a lot better than that. And I think that he's going to be able to kind of stuff the takedowns. And then when it comes to the feet, Barallo has shown that he does a few bad tendencies. He kind of does wing punches. He's quite straight up as well. You'll see he leans back. He doesn't have the best defense. He comes forward. You know, he'll throw a shot. He throws a lot of naked leg kicks as well. And it kind of reminds me, going back to, I don't know if you'll remember it, it might be before your time, but Damian Maia versus Nate Marquardt. I don't know if you saw that fight. But, you know, Maia was always known as being a great jiu-jitsu guy. And he kind of started to get his striking going and he'd throw these naked leg kicks. And Nate Marquardt just caught one of them, hit him with a pitch-perfect right hand, and that was game over. And I can see that happening with Barallo. I think he's a guy that's, his striking is obviously improving, but he's almost got, he's got that jiu-jitsu to fall back on, so he's not afraid to throw like big flashy kicks and naked kicks because he doesn't mind being on his back. But the trouble with that is if you've got someone that can either parry the kick, catch it, and then dart in with a nice straight hand, then you're going to get caught eventually. And I think Muradov can do that. So, yeah, I like Muradov. I think in this spot, the market's kind of overreacted too much to his loss against Mirshah, and you get him at plus 170, and that to me seems value. I think he should be about plus 140, I would have him. So, yeah. Yeah, I like Muradov in this spot.
Yeah, I think the key for him is just not giving up the back, because although he does have good takedown defense and he's able to, you know, stop people coming from the front, he's got to make sure that, you know, he doesn't allow Bahia to transition to the back, because if he gets your back, it's either you're probably going to spend the round there or get submitted. So that's probably his biggest issue, is just not giving up the back. But I do like the fact that this is, it's not at the apex. It's only in a bigger octagon, at Fight Island. So that should help Muradov with his movement too, and trying to stuff those takedowns. But it'll be a super interesting fight. I think both these guys are, you know, that one day they'll both probably be in the top 15 of the division. I would imagine they're both, some real good up and comers in the UFC. So mate, it'll be a cracking fight either way.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It should be good. Yeah.
All right, next one, Caitlin Chookagan versus Manon Farrow, one of the fights on the main card here. An interesting fight, this. I think it's kind of similar to what you're saying with your bet. I think Manon Farrow's getting a little bit of hype in her odds at the moment. I think she hasn't, her toughest test has come up against at Maia in her last fight, and like she won a pretty comfortable decision, but you kind of started to see some of the, I guess, some of her weaknesses and some of the ways people can expose her and potentially win a fight against her. And this is really interesting too, because this will be, I think, the first time in the UFC, potentially even her career, where she's coming up against someone who's bigger than her. She's quite a big 125er. So Chookagan's going to have a 2-inch height advantage and a 2-inch reach advantage. I know, not huge, but still, Manon is normally the much bigger girl in there. Like Maia was, I think she had like a 3-inch height advantage on her, for example. And she uses that reach advantage really well with her kicks. She's an expert at it. So it'll be very interesting to see when that reach advantage is kind of taken away from her, if she can still implement her game plan. But yeah, as I said, best striker Manon has faced. I think I'm not sure what you think, but I think Manon is, she's reasonably predictable in her attacks. Like it's kind of the same things over and over, lots of side kicks, you know, leaping in. She's obviously very, very good at it. But in that Maia fight especially, I just thought very predictable in what she's doing. Like I feel like a good striker after a round or so could be able to, you know, make her reads and start to counter effectively. On the contrary, Chookagan, she's obviously, I think she's on a 5-fight winning streak or something, but I thought she wasn't that great against Rebus. I thought she was going to beat her a lot more comfortably, and the decision could have really gone either way. So, yeah, I think overall you have to give Ferro the advantage on the feet, but I just don't think this is as big, you know, of an advantage as it has been in previous fights of Ferro. She can probably get Chookagan down a couple of times, but, you know, Chookagan's competent on the ground, and I don't think she's going to be able to use those takedowns to score, I guess, if you know what I mean, to, you know, get ground and pound, or, you know, find a submission or something like that. So I think that kind of, you know, potentially if the judges are a bit silly, it could sway around, but I don't think she's going to be able to do much meaningful damage or anything like that. So I Ferro should be favorite. There's no doubt for me. I would have her more, you know, minus 167, I think. So I think at the moment she's at minus 225, if I'm not mistaken. I think the value is probably not with Chookagan money line at plus 175, but I think it's with the decision mostly here. You can get Chookagan to win by decision at plus 270. She doesn't have much power, hasn't got much of a submission game, you know, and I doubt she's going to be able to get Ferro down anyway. So I think if Chookagan wins, it's heavily in favor of a decision victory. So yeah, with all that in mind, I do like Chookagan to win by decision at plus 270. Any thoughts on that, mate?
No, that's pretty much the way I was leaning. The only thing I worry about with Chookagan is kind of the physicality of Manon Ferro, because, you know, that's where she struggled in the past against, like, Andrade, obviously, was able to bully her. And then Ribas, like you say, Ribas was moving up in that, moving up a weight class, and she was able to get those trip takedowns and then kind of headlock, side headlock takedowns. And Ferro does have pretty decent judo. Like, she was able to get Maya down in the last fight with those judo throws. But like you say, I mean, she's, Chookagan's a John Danaher. I think she's a brown belt. So, she's decent on the ground. She's able to kind of contend there, and she should be able to work her way up, I'd imagine. And I don't know if Manon Ferro will want to do that, because she's quite happy normally to kind of point fight, isn't she, and stay on the outside. Yeah. So it would really, she'd have to kind of change her game up, which she might do, being at the reach disadvantage. But yeah, I mean, again, she's the one that's on this winning streak, and she's the one that's kind of the hot new thing in the UFC. So, you know, in most scenarios, it's good to look to oppose that. And Chookagan's very experienced. You know, she's fought Valentina Shevchenko. She's fought all the top girls in that division. So, yeah, I think she'll be able to contend in this fight.
Yeah, no, it'll be a cracking fight. And, yeah, just interesting overall to see how Ferro goes against, you know, her toughest test so far. So, yeah, should be a cracking fight, mate. Moving on to the other fights on the main card. This is probably the most popular fight on the card. Piotr Jan versus Sean O'Malley. What are your initial thoughts on this one? I'm not sure we either have a bet for this one, but I think it's something, yeah, we should definitely cover. For me, I think, yeah, three rounds might be one of the biggest factor in this fight, given that, yeah, Jan's, I don't know, he's probably on like a five round streak in terms of his previous fights. That's all he's been fighting lately. So that's a huge factor when you're coming down to a three round fight in terms of how you pace.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to this fight. I think it's my kind of favorite fight of the card, because we're going to kind of get to see where O'Malley really is. You know, in his two kind of step-up fights, the one against Pedro Munhoz, that was stopped prematurely due to the eye poke. And he did lose the first round on the scorecards in that fight. And then the other kind of step-up fight he had was against Chito Vera, and he kind of rolled his ankle in that fight, or it was due to Chito Vera's kicks. So we've not got to really see him against high-level competition for three rounds. We've only got to see like one round against Pedro Munhoz and one round against Chito Vera. So yeah, Jan, you know, Jan's one of the best fighters in the division. He's very nasty. He's going to come forward. He's got good boxing. He's got good head movement. He's able to kick the legs. He can do it all. He can grapple. He's got really nice trips, you know, in the clinch as well. He's able to get Aljamain Sterling down in those positions. So I think that he'll probably be able to get O'Malley down if that's the way that he wants to go. And with O'Malley, he's just going to have to try and gain Jan's respect. I think quite early on, he's going to have to land something to kind of stop Jan just marauding forward and working him up against the cage, maybe landing body shots, taking him down and just beating him up. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be up to O'Malley to be able to either move enough to get out of the way. Well, and like you say, it is in the bigger octagon. It's not in the apex. So O'Malley will have a bit more kind of distance to move back and kind of pivot off the cage. So yeah, it's going to be a really good fight. I don't know. I can see Jan breaking O'Malley, so I was looking at Jan KO at +285. I think Jan will want to KO him and hurt him as well. I don't think Jan's, he's a nasty dude. I don't think he'll want to submit him. I think he'll want to make a point, and punish this young punk and show him that, he doesn't belong in there with him. So I think if the fight
Sounds
does
like
end,
you
I
want
think.
O'Malley to get punished.
So I think if Jan, yeah, I think if Jan is kind of the fighter that's more likely to finish this fight. But if O'Malley can kind of keep the distance and, like I say, gain the respect of Jan early on, maybe land a nice like straight left and kind of get Jan wobbled a little bit and wary. He can pick him off on the outside. So the two ways I would look to play it is either O'Malley decision, which is +460, which I think is a pretty decent number, or Jan KO at +285. And I think, if you want to bet on the fight, whichever side you like, I think that would be the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I did see some early numbers for Yarn decision, no bet at. Oh God, I always forget to do a conversion here to American odds so I don't stuff it up. But I did see some early, an early price at -182 for decision, no bet, for Yarn, which I thought was pretty decent considering. I think O'Malley knocking Yarn out is pretty unlikely. He's never been knocked out by anyone, and. Jan has potentially, he could potentially have a huge advantage on the ground here. He could get O'Malley down and, beat him into oblivion, basically.
Yeah,
Seeing what we've
possibly.
seen from O'Malley's ground game so far, if Jan decides to go down that path, which he should, and I've seen in interviews he said he's happy to wrestle him too, it could get very ugly for O'Malley. But yeah, like you said, 3 rounds is a massive factor. I think yeah. Both kind of, I mean, O'Malley started quite slow in his last fight too, so could go either way. But Jan's really going to have to pick up his game because he is a notorious slow starter. And yeah, it'll just be it's a hard one to have a bet on just because it's you don't know 100% whether Jan's going to use his wrestling or not. Because if he does, then you're thinking, all right, those odds are well and truly justified, and potentially could even be shorter. But if he's going to stand and, strike with O'Malley the whole time, there is a world where O'Malley could get the better of him. We don't really know O'Malley's level too well yet. So, but considering Jan's been able to beat up the likes of Sandhagen, Aldo, these guys on the feet, like you would think he's probably going to get the best of Sean O'Malley. But mate, what a fight. It'll be super interesting.
Yeah, like I said, it's the one that I'm kind of most excited about.
Yeah. All right, mate. Let's move on to the first title fight on the card, actually. So two title fights on the card. You've got Dillashaw versus Aljamain Sterling, the champion for the bantamweight title. I think this is a kind of a dream matchup for TJ in a way. I mean, in terms of styles, it is a great matchup for him. I know there's the questions of him coming off the knee surgery. Probably people concerned about Dillashaw's age, but if you just break it down to the nuts and bolts of it is a great matchup for him. He's probably got the striking advantage. He just went 5 rounds with Sandhagen a year ago off a 2-year layoff from his suspension. I thought it was very close on the feet for the 5 rounds, minus the second round. Outside of that, it was very close on the feet, and he had, I think, like 4 ligaments or something ruptured, torn in his knee that whole fight afterwards, after that first round. So, considering that, going toe to toe with a guy like Sandhagen, who I would rate as a better striker than Aljo, incredible performance. And yeah, wrestling wise, I think this is quite close. I would say TJ probably mixes everything together a bit better in terms of the striking and the wrestling and the grappling. But in terms of just, who's the better wrestler? It's probably quite close. I wouldn't say either has a huge advantage there. But if TJ's winning the striking and he's able to mix in everything a bit better together, he could potentially have an advantage there. The biggest thing, and that this is why I kind of like this bet, is that I feel like Aljo's path to victory is very much based around, can he outgrapple TJ? Can he get him to the ground? Can he get to his back? And I just think a guy like TJ Dillashaw, I'd say he's a level up on Piotr Jan, and in terms of the grappling. and Jan was able to out-wrestle Sterling over both fights, really. It was just the grappling where he had a little bit of an issue in rounds two and three. Going into the fourth and fifth round, though, there was times where Aljo was able to get, you know, maybe one hook in or, you know, circle around to Jan's back, and he was able to avoid those situations later in the fight. So Dillashaw, he's arguably got the best cardio in the division. He's got an advantage here. I really see him, at the very least, probably winning round four and five if it does go there. So, yeah, I think you add all these things up together, mate. I'm very surprised at the odds. I thought it would be a lot closer together. TJ Dillashaw at plus 138. I know the concerns, you know, around his age and coming off knee surgery, but he just fought to a split decision victory over Sandhagen with all of his ligaments gone on his knee. This time he's going to have all of those ligaments back. So the knee surgery, not really an issue for me. Kind of evens itself out. And also his age, I mean, yes, he's old, but he's not your typical 38-year-old who's been, like the last, you know, 3-4 years, he's probably only had two fights. You know, he's had lots of rest. He's been able to, you know, get all that rest in. It's not like he's, you know, been too active and taken a lot of damage. So, yeah, I mean, I love Dillashaw plus 138. I would have him. I have this fight pretty close to 50-50. Yourself, mate?
Yeah, so I was surprised that Dillashaw was the underdog in this fight. When they'd announced that, I was kind of expecting Dillashaw to be like a minus 120 favorite because, like, say, if you look at, like, kind of who Aljo's fought that's most similar, you'd say it's Petr Yan. And the first fight they had was kind of even money. I think it was like, I think Aljo might have been a slight favorite in that fight. And then obviously there was the knee. But after that, the second fight they had, due to the way that kind of Yan dominated the first fight, Aljo was like plus 300. And I think if you look at TJ, like, you know, he's a similar fighter to Yan. So I see this fight being somewhere in between the first Yan fight and the second Yan fight for Aljo, basically, in that it could very well look like the first one where TJ is able to stuff the takedown, scramble really well, and he hurt, you know, he's pressuring, he's landing shots, and he just tires Aljo, you know, like the first fight. Or it could look like the second fight, but the second fight with Petr Yan was super close. So for him to be plus 140... like, it doesn't really make that much sense to me. And then, like you say, I've seen a few people kind of said that the line makes sense due to his age and the fact that he's been kind of fairly inactive in the last few years. But it wasn't that long ago that he fought five rounds with Sandhagen. It's not like he went one round, you know, and knocked the guy out. We've seen him fight for five rounds. Like you say, he injured his knee in that fight quite badly. He had a big cut on his eye and he gritted it out and, you know, and he won a split decision against one of the best fighters in the division. So for me, that's... you know, that's kind of nonsense. I don't think that makes too much sense. So yeah, I really like TJ. I think, like you say, his ability to scramble is really good. You look at the fights with Cruz. Cruz was able to land a few takedowns, but he couldn't kind of maintain position. And Dillashaw comes out of that Team Alpha Male camp, so you know that. I mean, he's not there anymore, but that's where he started. Yeah. So you know that obviously his wrestling is going to be top notch. His cardio is really good. He showed in the last fight how much grit he's got. You know, he was in so much trouble in that fight. And, you know, if that was Aljo in that fight, you know, with the bum knee and the big cut on his eye, he's, you know, he's probably going to find a way out of it. So, you know, with TJ, you're going to get five rounds where he's going to fight for your money and he's going to fight hard. And like you said, I just think his pressure as well will make Aljo work. And I think, you know, if it gets to the fourth and fifth round, I think TJ's winning them like 80% of the time. So, yeah, I just agree with a lot of what you said. And yeah, I really like TJ. It's probably my favorite bet, I think, of the card.
Yeah, I think same for myself too. And let's just say worst case scenario, Aljo gets his back and, you know, gets the body triangle in round one or two, three, whatever. Like, yes, he's probably, he might not be able to get out, but worst case scenario, he loses the round. He can go full defensive, just lose the round. It's not, I don't think there's like this, unless he's, you know, he goes full offensive. Like, it's not like he's definitely going to get subbed straight away. If Petr Yan was able to survive, you know, two rounds with Aljo on his back, then I'm sure TJ couldn't and potentially get out too. So, yeah, it's Aljo's path to victory. It's just very, it doesn't deserve, I don't think, that kind of you know, whatever he is, minus, what is he, minus 160 or one, minus 150 kind of tag. So
yeah, no,
I think that's a solid spot, mate. Let's move on to the main event. I mean, everyone's very excited about this one. Islam Makhachev versus Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title. I'll let you go first on this one, mate, but my general thought is it's a completely different matchup for Charles Oliveira, and it's in terms of his previous fights, it's a completely different stylistic matchup for him, and his path to victory, I think, is quite tough against a guy like Makhachev.
Yeah, so I think the big difference in this fight is that Islam, you know, he can kind of break the chaos that Charles Oliveira brings. You know, when he fought Gaethje and when he's fought most people, you know, nobody wants to take him down and get involved with him in the grappling or the jiu-jitsu. And because of that, he's able to just kind of come forward, pressure, you know, clinch knees. He's not afraid of being taken down, so he'll throw knees to the body. And that was a big difference in the Poirier fight, was when they were clinching, he was landing those knees and he was really draining him. But in the Poirier fight, he was eating that left hand over and over again. And you know, and Islam's got a really nice straight left as well on the feet. So it's not like Islam's kind of dead on the feet either, I don't think. So yeah, I think that, like I say, the big difference is that Islam will be able to take him down. He'll be able to kind of wear him out against the cage if he wants to. I think Islam could take his back, possibly work for takedowns, and it can just nullify a lot of what Charles Oliveira brings. And I think that's probably what he'll do in this fight. I think he's going to look to grapple and wrestle and just wear on Oliveira and really take, you know, just nullify him for the first two rounds and really, you know, take away his gas tank, take away that explosivity that Charles Oliveira brings. And like I say, just break the chaos, you know, it's Oliveira kind of thrives in that chaos. We've seen it in the Chandler fight, you know, they drop each other, they hurt each other, and Oliveira's come out top, and so he's done that in the Poirier fight as well. But yeah, like in this fight, I think that Islam skill set, he's just got the skill set to kind of nullify Charles Oliveira. And like you say, I think Oliveira's it's kind of win path is the first two rounds. He's got to come out and he's got to make it a chaotic fight and maybe snatch up a guillotine or snatch something up. You know, maybe he can catch an armbar or maybe he can find his way onto Islam's back. I don't know. But yeah, I think you've got to favour Islam in this spot quite heavily, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got Islam around minus 220. I think he will close a lot shorter than he is now. I think, yeah, Islam can just go super defensive on the feet, really, and just kind of wait for the perfect time to take him down, which Charles will give you just because he's so offensive. I think a good fight to go and look at is actually the Michael Chandler fight, because that's kind of the closest kind of, I know there's no one, he's not fought anyone close to Islam Makhachev, but it's kind of a very similar in terms of a good wrestler, decent on the feet. And Chandler was able to stay in Charles's guard for a good couple of minutes, and Charles never really got close to, you know, doing anything really. And he took some big shots from Chandler. So if you put Makhachev on top of Charles in that situation, maybe Islam won't do as much damage, because sometimes he can be quite, you know, just happy to control. But even in that scenario, Islam's winning the fight. Sure, Islam doesn't have the big names on his record that that Charles does, but I think Charles is, if you look at his record lately, he's getting some very favorable matchups in terms of stylistically. Gaethje's a striker. Obviously, he's a good wrestler, but he's a striker. You've got Dustin's a striker, and both of these guys have shown in the past that they can be submitted quite easily. Chandler doesn't have a great chin, you know, knocked him out. So if you go, you can really go through his record and have a look and see, like, these were pretty favorable matchups for Charles. And this is just a completely different fight. So yeah, I completely agree, mate. I think he can get him down kind of when he wants to, possibly, and really smother him. And yeah, I see him getting a finish at some point, probably, second, third round, something like that for Makhachev. In terms of bets, mate, have you found anything? I like Islam's currently minus 175 at Bet Rivers. I would bet him all the way down to minus 200. I think his fair odds are probably around minus 220, something like that. The other bet that I liked was Makhachev decision no bet, or also known as finish only here. So it voids if it goes to a decision, but if Makhachev wins by finish, then it wins. That's at -139. I would have that basically the same odds as their as the money line odds. So they were the two bets that I like for Makhachev. Any bets for you, mate, or are you just sticking to the money line?
I just like the Makhachev side in general, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't mind any of it. Even for the, I saw like Makhachev decision was like +400, I think, and possibly +500. So I thought that was quite big, just in case he does go through the kind of nullify Charles route and he just wrestles him, because, you know, that he's got kind of the home. I know it's not his home, but he's going to have almost like a home crowd advantage. So I don't think there'll be much urgency to stand them up if he wants to do that. So, yeah, he might just play it safe. And if that's the case, then, you know, if you're holding that decision ticket, then you'll be pretty happy. So yeah, but I'd probably just take the money line.
Yeah, I agree, mate. All right, best bet of the weekend for you, mate, what do you like?
Well, like Dillashaw, like I said earlier, I think Dillashaw's a really good bet this weekend.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Dillashaw for me, or also I think Makhachev. Yeah, the bets I just highlighted, either of them, I think, yeah, I think there's some solid value out there this weekend, mate. This is your first time on the YouTube channel. Please make sure you subscribe to get alerted to all the great content here at the BetRivers Network. If you're on Twitter, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at SM Sports Trader and myself at AlexVella_. And we will be back next week. I actually forgot to write down what's on next week. I assume we're probably back at the Apex or something like that. I have no idea what the fight is, but we will be back next week to preview those fights. It's been a pleasure, mate. Should be a cracking card. And for all those out there watching, yeah, enjoy the fights, especially the people in the UK who will be on at a friendly time for you and at midnight for me. So that'll be an ugly wake-up. Nice.
Got a nice 5 o'clock start, 5 p.m. So yeah, get to watch the full card. Should be good.
Awesome, mate. All right. Have a good one.
All right, see you later.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the Bet Rivers Network.